Hello. Today we're going to be learning Lakuta Sichas Chelik Yud Gimel, Nosei Aleph. The style of this Sicha is a little bit different than what we're used to. A lot of it is Chassidus. And some of the topics are actually a little lofty in Chassidus, but somehow the message of the Sicha is very practical and very relevant. So, we're going to begin with Eis Aleph, Kimeduber Kama Piyamim. It has been spoken many times, HaKlal Shehateira Hinitzchis, the rule that Teira is eternal. V'Tokfeihu B'Negei Alechol HaTeira Kula. This rule is in effect with regards to the entire Teira. Gama Inyonim Shebeteira Asher Begashmi Is Einam Bizmanenu. Even those areas of Teira that physically speaking do not apply in our time. Nevertheless, they are still relevant, they are still present in Ruchnius, in a spiritual sense, even now. And Ruchnius, spirituality, is the source and the root of Gashmius. So as long as it exists, Ruchnius, it means that it's still relevant today. This brings us to a topic in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Nosei. Minyan b'nei Gershon b'nei Merari, the counting of the family of Gershon and the family of Merari. V'has chalosai, and the beginning of this concept, ha-ne'meres b'seif parsha akedemis, which begins in the end of the previous parsha, parsha of Bamidbar, minyan b'nei Kohos, the counting of the children of Kohos, the family of Kohos, ha-mestayim b'parsha seinu, which ends in this week's parsha with the counting of Gershon and Merari. So there is a in Parashas Bamidbar, it speaks about counting all the Yidden, it speaks about counting the Levium from the age of 1 month old and on. But then there's a special counting of the Levium that were working in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, which is Levium from the ages of 30 to 50. And that begins in Parashas Bamidbar when it tells us what the number was and when it tells us what the job, what the role of Kehas, B'nei Kehas was. Then it continues in Parashas Nosei with the counting of the family of Gershon and Merari and their jobs in the transportation of the Mishkan. So, if we're talking about the fact that HaTeira is Nitzchis, the Teira is eternal, Sha'av Shebegashmi is Eina Inyan Nitzchi, even though this counting is not an eternal idea, Shehoya Atzivu L'Menesam V'Haminyan Atzmai Rak Pam Achas B'Shona Hashenis V'Teisa Meret V'Tzirayim, because the commandment that they should be counted, and the fact that they were counted, only took place once in this second year after the Yidden left Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, but the message, the spiritual idea of the counting of Bnei Gershon of all the Bnei Levi is eternal. So the question basically is, you know, if everything has a lesson and everything is practically relevant to today, what is the practical relevance of the fact that B'nai Levi, the tribe of Levi, the Shevet of Levi, was counted this one time in the second year after the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim? Yuvenze Behaktim, so Noiz Bezi says, this, to answer this question, the relevance of the counting of the Levium will be understood by first prefacing another question. Why was it necessary for the Yidden to remain in the Midbar, in the desert? Notice the word Midbar here is underscored, is emphasized for 40 years. Why were the Yidden in the Midbar for 40 years? Hey, Nemes. It's true, we know the fact that because the Miraglim sinned by not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael, it was decreed upon them and all of the Yidden of that day that they would not go into the Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. Yem lashana, yem lashana, 1 year for each day that the Miraglim were scouting Eretz Yisrael, and they were there for 40 days, and therefore the Yidden had to remain outside of Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. Hare, however, the decree was that the Yidden could not enter into Eretz Yisrael. And as he explains, the chet, the sin of the Yidden, was that they did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the consequence was that the Taka couldn't go in for 40 years, corresponding to the 40 days that the Yidden were, that the Mizit Miraglim were in Eretz Yisrael, Midah Keneged Midah, which these 40 years was Midah Keneged Midah. You don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Okay, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. However, the point of here was not where they were, but where they couldn't be. The point was that the Yidden could not be in Eretz Yisrael for these 40 years. Aval, however, they could have spent these 40 years in a place of habitation outside of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it didn't say, the Gzeira wasn't that they have to be in a Midbar. The Gzeira was that they have to be in outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem could have taken them, you know, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael was much closer than 40, within 40 years. And Hashem could have taken them somewhere to another country and settled them there in a place of habitation in a city versus a desert. And they could spend 40 years there until they're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'lei b'midbar. And not have to be in a desert, in a midbar for 40 years. U'bifrat b'midbar ha'gadol v'ha'neira. Especially, they wouldn't have to be in this terrible off-field midbar, which was filled with snakes and scorpions and a thirst because there was no water. So the question is, and this question is actually asked in Likutei Torah, on this week's Parsha, the first Maimon Likutei Torah of Parshas Nasi, he asks the question, what was the purpose of the Yidden traveling through the midbar for 40 years? And the explanation to this is, as is explained in Likutei Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Nasi, the reason that the Yidden traveled in the Midbar with the Mishkan and the Klei HaMishkan, the vessels of the Mishkan, to weaken or to subjugate the Koyach, the strength of the outside forces, the forces of Klipa, because the source of the Yinika, where they draw their sustenance from, is from the Midbar. The plate is like in the Midbar. In the Kutaita there, he explains, without going through the whole Maimer, that a Midbar is a place that is desolate. Nothing grows over there. Why? Because growth represents giving, hashpoah. The midbar or the place would have to give shefa, would have to give something in order for something to grow. So when you're talking about kedusha, about holiness, kedusha is bittul, humility. I mean, bittul is more than humility, but for the sake of this conversation, we're going to use the word humility, which basically means that when I have something, I think to myself, it's not just for me. It's not Hashem. I'm not anything extraordinary that it was given to me. It was given to me to share with others. So therefore, bittul goes together with chesed. So kedusha, which is the union of bittul, leads to chesed, leads to giving hashpa. However, klipa, everything is ligarme. Everything is for me. Whatever I have, it's for me because it's lacking bittul. It's egotistical. It's all about themselves. Therefore, if I have something, it's for me. So the midbar, the reason that nothing grows in the midbar is because the midbar is a place of klipa, and therefore everything is selfish, and there's no giving, and therefore there's no way for anything to grow, because there's nothing that is giving to the midbar to be able to grow. And in the Maimer of the Kutotera over there, he says that when the Yidden traveled through the midbar with the Mishkan, the Gili Elikus, the revelation of Elikus that was brought to the midbar, because the Mishkan was traveling through it. In other words, the Gili Elikus that was in the Mishkan weakened or broke the klipis of the Midbar and created a possibility for there to be a Gili Elikus, a revelation of Elikus in the world. So this is what he's saying here in the Sicha, which is quoting from the Likutei Torah, that the reason that the Yidden had to go through the Midbar was in order to weaken the Yinikas HaChitzeinim, which they were living in the Midbar. They were dwelling in the Midbar. They were living off of the Midbar. And came the Yidden and they traveled through the Midbar to break the Klippas. V'yusei demizu. Not only were they breaking the klippas, but al yedei sheichniyu es achitzenim va'acheshech hamaster, by weakening or subjugating or breaking the chitzenim, the klippas, and the darkness that conceals an alakus, hayu mamshichim gili alakus, they were able to draw down the revelation of alakus. And in order to get this done, they had to be in the Midbar for 40 years. They had to spend 40 years in the Midbar to break the klippas, to weaken the klippas, to be able to allow to create a Gili Alakus in the world. The Pashtus. And here we see this, it's not just an Indian spiritual thing, you also see the Pashtus in a very practical sense, how the Yidden's experience in the Midbar transformed the Midbar. And he explains, Al Yidei Masois B'nei Yisrael B'Midbar, through the Yidden traveling through the Midbar, Hoya Ha'onon Heirigas Anachashim V'Akravim, the clouds, the Anani HaKovid, would kill the snakes and the scorpions, and they turned the Midbar into a habitable place. And he explains, Midbar nivdal mimakam Yishuv. What's the difference between a Midbar and a city, a place where people live? There are two things, two ideas that differentiate the Midbar from a city, a place where people live. And in each of these things, the Yidden traveling through the Midbar changed that. Number one, Aleph la Yosef Adam Sham. This is a pasuk that describes a midbar, a place where nobody lives, where nobody dwells. That's what usually defines a midbar. However, but when there were 600,000 Yidden in the midbar, Yosef Adam Sham, people were living there, people were dwelling there. Then, like he brings in the Yare 11, that according to the Gemara in Shabbos, when the Yidden were in the Midbar was considered a Shusarabim. And a Shusarabim means that it has to be a place where there's 600,000 people that are passing by. And they had that in the Midbar. And therefore, you can't say, Lo Yashav Adam Sham, nobody lives there, if there's 600,000 Yidden living, the people living there. Base. The other aspect of a Midbar is Eretz Lezrua. A land, a soil that is not planted. However, when the Yidden were in the Midbar, there was water from the well of Miriam that was that helped grow different grasses and trees an unlimited amount. So both aspects of Midbar, the fact that people don't live there, and the fact that things don't grow there, both changed while the Yidden were there. And just like practically things changed, also Beruchnius things changed. That it became a place where people can live, meaning to say it became a place where things grew. It became a place where Klippa was weakened and Agilia Lukus, revelation of godliness, became possible. And this brings us back to our initial question, why the Levim were counted, and what is the practical significance of the counting of the Levim. In other words, this Inyan, this discussion of why the Yidden traveled to the Midbar, this is actually in the Maimon Lukut Torah. But this Sikha takes it to the next step, and it says that based on this we'll understand why the Levim were counted, and what it means to us. This is the reason why, on a deeper level, specifically the Levim were counted from 30 years and on, the Levim that were working in the Mishkan and with the Mishkan to transport the Mishkan. They were counted for the Aveda, for the work of transporting the Mishkan and the Kelim. She'al Yodim, like we just said in the Maimon Lukut HaTorah, through carrying the Mishkan through the Midbar. Not just through the Aveda in the Mishkan, which is Aveda of the Kayanim, but just carrying the Mishkan through the Midbar, which was the job of the Levim. Through that, Havchu as a Midbar, let us say Sheves, they turned the Midbar into a land of habitation. K'nam Lukut HaTorah, as mentioned from the Lukut HaTorah. And therefore they had to be counted. Ki al yedei ha-minyin ha-miyuchat. Be'inyin zeh. Because through the specific counting for this concept, for this thing, nasu b'miyuchat b'zeh davar chashuv, this made them into something important. And the midbar will not have an effect on them. Because something that is counted cannot be bottled, cannot be nullified. We'll explain that in a second. But on the contrary, the Levim will turn the midbar into a place of habitation. In other words, this is referring to a concept in halacha, in the halachas of taruvus, of mixing Isra and Heter, that when you mix something that's Asr into something that's Mutter, then the mixture becomes Asr. Unless there's a Bittl. Unless there's, let's say, a Bittl Berayv, or a Bittl Beshishim, if there's 60 times as much of the Mutter as there is of the Asr, then the Mutter will overpower the Asr, and the whole mixture will become Asr. But there are exceptions to that. If something is important, if something is an important thing that fell into the mixture, then the fact that there's a majority or that there's 60 times as much won't necessarily help. Another concept in this halacha is a davar shebeminyan, something that's counted. In other words, something that's sold by numbers and not by weight or by volume. One of the examples would be eggs. Eggs are sold by the dozen. Dozen is a number. I mean, there are other examples in the Gemara, but I wanted to bring a practical example. So something that is something that is sold or traded by number, not by weight or something like that, the fact that it's a counter, there's a one, there's a two, there's a three, that al pi halacha makes it considered a davar chashiv, and it does not become batal beroiv or batal beshishim. It doesn't become nullified into the rest of the mixture. It stands out as an individual thing because it has a number. It's counted. So beruchnius, if we apply that beruchnius, when something is of great importance, then it doesn't become swallowed up in the bigger picture. It continues to stand out and to make a difference, to affect. In other words, the Isser, that Chashuv, falls into the Heter, the whole thing becomes Asr. The Isser affects, in other words, the small thing, even though it's small, but it's Chashuv, affects the greater mixture. So by counting the Levim, it gave the Levim the power of an inyan chashuv, of something important, that they will not be affected by the midbar. On the contrary, they will affect change in the midbar. So based on this Maimer Lekuta Torah, that tells us that the purpose of the Levim carrying the Mishkan through the Midbar was in order to break the klippis and bring a lakus into the world and change the Midbar. This helps us understand why the Levim had to be counted. The Levim had a major task over here to bring the Mishkan through the Midbar, to change the Midbar. What they needed was something that to strengthen them, that they shouldn't be affected by it, and on the contrary, they should be able to affect the midbar. And in order to do that, they were counted, which gave them the status of a davar chashiv, of something that is not batal, not affected by the bigger thing, and they were able to affect the midbar and change the midbar to make it into a makom ruach or eretz neshavos. That's the Nekuda. And now we're going to take this into a lesson, both in our impact on the world and in our impact on ourselves. Inyan zeh, last is midbar eretz neshavos. This idea that we have to turn the midbar into an eretz neshavos, into a habitable place. And the kayach hazeh milmaila, the atzivu limanesim, and the kayach that we get milmaila by the commandment to count the Levim, and now we understand the eternal and practical concept of counting the Levim. And here is the lesson. When a person thinks about the situation, the surroundings in which he finds himself, he might think to himself that he finds himself in a desert, the kind of desert where there's nobody living there. But here he types as not no human beings living there, but there's a pasuk that it says, "Val dmus hakise dmus kimare adam." The Merkavas Yecheskel, that he saw on the seat, he saw the figure of a human being. Of course, he was seeing the Eibishter, but the Eibishter was in a Dmus Kimara Adam. And so therefore, when we say Le'yashav Adam Sham, we are referring to the Eibishter, that it's a place where the Eibishter is not living there. Why? Because most of the people in the surroundings do not know the concept of a lakus, or the concept of the man above. And even those who know about the Eibishter, and even those who are inspired to conduct themselves according to the instructions of the Eibishter and the instructions of Tzedek, nevertheless, it's very difficult, even the Tzaddik, who is living on this earth and is doing good, still he sins. It's impossible to find someone who doesn't sin. And yechta can be tied in two ways. Yechta literally means he doesn't sin. Yechta, chet, also comes from the word chisaron, of lacking. Al kulponim, if he's not sinning, but yachsir, something is lacking in his work, mikid boy lemevat. How it should be, what he should be doing in his aveda. Here there's a 17 star and a footnote. And he references the Gemara in Ksubis. Over there, it's talking about Nakdimin Ben Gurion, and it says that he didn't do tzedakah. He didn't do enough tzedakah. So the question was, we say we find that he did an incredible amount of tzedakah. So one of the answer is Kiddiboy Lemevad. He didn't do. He did tzedakah, but he didn't do it as he should have done. Why? Because it says Lefum Gam Lashichna. That according to the camel, that's the load. In other words, according to how much money he had, that's how much tzedakah he should have given, and he didn't do kiddiboy lemevat, as he should have done, as it was appropriate for him to do. So in other words, the same thing in every single person. Doing your avoda has to be according to the keichas the Eibishter gave you. So even a person who knows the Eibishter and knows the erais of the Eibishter in Torah, nevertheless, it's possible that he's not doing enough according to his ability. And because of that, he finds himself in a midbar where the Adam, where the Eibishter is not dwelling there. But the Adam, the Eibishter is not there in a manner of settling down, in a sense of, in a manner of permanence. So a person looks around himself and he sees that even though, you know, he's surrounded by people either who don't know of the Eibishter, who don't know of the Eibishter, but they're not doing their Aveda properly, and he's in a midbar. He's in a spiritual desert. And because of that, he can find himself to falling in some sort of sadness or some sort of despair. And because of that, he might do linte shlichus, he might leave his shlichus, which he's supposed to be working with the poor of his city, which means that the first level of tzedakah is to give tzedakah, not the first, but one of the more important levels of tzedakah, is to give tzedakah to those people, those poor people who live in your city, who can make it, and so too, if you're on a shlichus, to bring a lekus to the world, your shlichus is first to the people of your city. But if he sees all of a sudden that he's living in a place of a midbar, he might say to himself, this is causing me a great sense of despair and sadness. I have to leave this place and run somewhere else. And therefore comes the lesson from this parsha, Linaseya Bamidbar, that his job is to continue to travel through this midbar, and to change the midbar. Can you see Aspna Yisrael Bamidbar Parsha saying, no, just like the traveling, just like the journey of the Yidden in the midbar that's in our parsha. The Yidden traveled through the midbar by the command of the Eibishter, and they transformed the midbar into a place of dwelling. In other words, not only were they staying out of Eretz Yisrael, which was one idea that they couldn't go in, they were in the midbar for a purpose. They were in the midbar for the purpose of changing the midbar. This applies to every single Yid in every single time. Every place that he finds himself in, even if he's in a desolate desert, his being there is not by chance. He's there in the Eibishter Shlichis. That the Eibishter destines, the Eibishter controls, the sides, the footsteps of man, so that this person should transform his place through his Aveda, the Makamesh of Adam Elyon, to a place where the Adam Elyon, where the Abishter, can dwell comfortably. According to what the Rambam says, this was also mentioned in last week's in one of the Sikhs of Bamidbar, that not only Shevet Levi, every single person who his spirit has become generous, to separate himself and to stand before Hashem to serve Hashem, then this person could also have that Hashem will be his lot and his portion, just like the Eibishter gave this privilege to the Keren and Levim. Every Yid could also reach this level by contributing his life to the service of Hashem, like a Kohen or a Levi. Every single Yid, based on this Rambam, this comes out, that every Yid, if he will just dedicate his Ruach, his spirit, that this Yid should teach the Yevishter's just ways and righteous mishpatim, righteous laws, the rabbim, to the public, to the people, then he will be given from above the koyach and the importance, the strength and the importance, that he will not become batal, he will not become nullified by the imposing surroundings around him, umidarga ladarga, and will grow from level to level. The bnei gershin nasiyas reish gam. In the Maimer in the Likutei Torah, he points out that in the Pasuk it says, Nasiyas Reish Bnei Gershin Gam Heim, also them. And by Kahas, it doesn't say Gam. And he explains in the Maimer in the Likutei Torah, it's a very long Maimer, but the Nekuda basically is that Gershin is like a secondary. So it's Nasiyas Reish, he's lifting up the head of Bnei Gershon, is uplifting them to the special task, but Gam Heim, also them, they're secondary. So that's one thing. So if number one, you're given a chshivis, but it's a chshivis that it's nasi yasreish gam, that it's a secondary lifting, raising. The ad, and then you go higher, the dagger to Bnei Kahas, nasi yasreish b'fnei asnerik, Bnei Kahas, it doesn't say gam, it just says nasi yasreish b'nei Kahas, which means that they are lifted not in a secondary level, but in a primary level. So in other words, the Yid, who dedicates his life to his shlichus, like the Bnei Levi, like the Shevet Levi, is given the koyach to uplift himself and to uplift the world around him, and is given the chshivis that he's not batal, so that's Nasi Yisrei is first in the level of Gam, and then in the level without Gam, that it's not even in a secondary level. Therefore, through this, the person could make the place in which he finds himself. Even if it started out as being a midbar, he could make it into a dirah, a dwelling place for Hashem. So now we understand one of the lessons, the practical lessons that we could take from the counting of the Levim and understand its relevance, its eternal relevance, that was talking about the idea of transforming a midbar into a place of habitation, transforming a world that is spiritually, a place that is spiritually desolate, into a place that could be a dwelling place for Hashem. Now this is talking about the impact of the person on the world. Now we're going to talk on the person, the impact on the person themselves, his talent. This said lesson also is applicable to the person in their own avodah. When a person makes a proper cheshbon, a proper accounting of what he himself is going through, he might come to the sum total of his conduct that it was on the level of a midbar, on the level of a desert. His conduct is not up to par. The because of that, the person could come to fall into a despair. Chas v'shalom. Because he could think, how could I change my conduct? Especially if he did it twice. Once and twice. Shenasa lekeheter, which it says that a person who does an aveda two times, then it makes it feel like it's permissible. And certainly if it's something that he did more than twice, that it becomes a habit, it becomes second nature. So a person is going to say, here, you know, listen, I did it once, I did it twice, I did it more than twice, it has become part of who I am. What do you expect from me? I can't change, I'm a midbar. For this comes the lesson, and this lesson is not just from the general Aveda of the Levium, but from their age. From what age were the Levium counted? This, like the Bnei Levi, which were already above 30 years old, 30 and above, the Ad Ozlei of Du Es Aveda Sa Mishkan, until that point they did not do this Aveda in the Mishkan. Nevertheless, they're already 30 years old, they have no experience, nevertheless. They were given the koyach to do this. And not only the koyach to do it, but on a level of Nasi Yisraish, they were lifted up. That from this point and on, they should be transporters, carriers of the Mishkan. And they should be able to transform the Mishkan, the Midbar, into a place of living. And it was actually had that way. That it actually happened that the Midbar was turned into a Makim Moshav, a place of habitation, which doesn't just mean physically the Yidden were living there and they were growing grass and trees, but they brought down a lakus, they brought down godliness into this world, into the Midbar. Keinu b'kalechad v'yechad. So too is in every single Yid, that regardless of how what his situation was until this point, if he will make the resolution that from this point in on he will stand before Hashem to serve him. I don't know how to translate l'shar se'ul avdei, to serve Hashem and to work for Hashem. Yutan le'akoyach le'tayres atzmai, he will be given the strength to purify himself, to refine himself. Ve'as begadav, even his begadim, you know, in Parshas, I think it's Baal Yischa, where it talks about, kachas ha'levim. So it says over there that you take the levim and you metire them, you purify them, and it also says in the pasuk v'chibsu bigdeim v'itaru. It wasn't just making the levim tired; even their clothes were becoming tired. Which I guess over here is referencing to a sort of an external thing. Not only is he being metired, the person himself, but even his external faculties are part of this tahara process. Mikol and Yonu ability to see him from all the negative things. So Yehuda Avar that were in his past, be Yosef b'Midbar when he was still in the state of a desert. Ulaham Shechgil Kuz ben Avshay, and he's able when he just dedicates himself to serve Hashem, he has the koyach to transform himself. He has the koyach to transform his begadim that from all of the negative things that he attracted being in a midbar, ulaham shech gili alakus benavshay, and to draw down a revelation of alakus into his nefesh, v'alav yei omer v'shachamti b'seicham l'ismishkan l'yizbarach, and on him it is said that he the Eibishter rests among them, that he himself becomes a mishkan to the Eibishter. So we have two lessons from the eternal impact of the counting of the Levium. Lesson one, number one, is that a Yid has the power to transform his surroundings from being a midbar, a spiritually desolate place, into a spiritually vibrant place. And the second lesson is that a person can change themselves to become a midbar. And they shouldn't say it's too late for me, because even the Levium started late in life to become Levium and to serve the Mishkan. So what does the person have to do? What's the job? What's the method? So for this, he gives us Eisei and Eisvav. In order that the person, notice this, Adam Vasviva, referring both to Eisdalad and Eisgimel, that the person and his surrounding should become a Dira Leizbarech, a dwelling place for Hashem, Tzricha Leyesa Aved. There has to be the Aved in both categories of Sur Mirah and Asetev. staying away, turning away from the bad and focusing on the good. This is a very famous mashal. A mashal of a king, when they want to fix or erect a dwelling place, a palace for the king, first they have to clear out the chamber from all dirt and filth, and then only then, only then could you bring in beautiful furniture. The same thing applies when making a Dira Leiz Baruch, a dwelling place for Hashem. You have to have both avodas, both concepts, surmeda, clearing out the bad, clearing out the filth, v'aseitev, and bringing in the good. V'gam inyan zeh nirmez b'pnei geshen b'pnei kahas. Even this idea that there's a surmeda and v'aseitev, that there's clearing out the bad, clearing the dirt, and bringing in the good, is also hinted in b'nei geshen b'nei kahas, nesei ha-mishkan, we're carrying the mishkan. Gershon, m'lashon gerushin. Gershon comes from the word gerushin, to expel. Surmira, which is expelling the bad. Ukaha, sumiloshan velo yikas amim. Kas comes from the word, to him, the nations will gather, the nations will come together. Asifas vikibutz and yonim atevim, which represents gathering together the good things, which is vasetev. So there's the gerishin, which was pushing away the bad, and kas, which represents bringing in the good. Ukumeish, a gerishin little lefne kas. Just like Gershon was older than Kahas, Gershon was born before Kahas, that's also how the order of what comes first, first has to be the expelling of the bad, and then you could do the good. Just like in the muscle of the palace, of the house for the king, that you can only bring in the good, the nice furniture, after you've cleaned out the chamber, or the palace, from all the dirt. So when we talk about Levim, up until this ois, we didn't differentiate really, besides the fact that Gershon was Gam and Kahas was not Gam, we didn't really differentiate between Gershon and Kahas. But here we have, well, once we talk about Bnei Levi, we talk about these two Avedas within Bnei Levi. There's the Aveda of Bnei Gershon, the Aveda of Bnei Kahas. Bnei Gershon is the Aveda of Gershon, of expelling the bad, and Kahas is the Aveda of drawing in the good. Now, in Oizvavi says that not only is it in their names, but also in the actual things that they did, is also hinted or represented the Avedis of Surmeira and Asetev. Vav, Pulis Aveda de Surmeira, Vasetev, Muvanami Meachilik, Shmimasa Benegesh, and Lamasa Benekahas. The Avedis of Surmeira and Asetev could be understood from the difference between what Gershon was transporting and what Kahas was transporting. B'nei Gershon nasu es yirias ha-mishkan v'chulu. The B'nei Gershon were carrying the yirias, is the literally yirias means curtains, but it means the rugs or the carpets or the curtains that were the rooftops that were on top of the mishkan. Which base b'sheinkin b'nei Kahas nasu klei ha-mishkan ha-orin v'ashulchan v'chulu. But B'nei Kahas were carrying the vessels from inside the mishkan, the orin and the shulchan, etc. Well, the difference between the two is the Yirias, their purpose was to protect and to surround, to encompass, to surround the Mishkan and to protect it from other things coming in. Even though there was also Krashim, the Krashim were from the side, but from the top there was the Yirias, they covered it, created a rooftop for the Mishkan so that nothing could fly in, nothing could go in. Which basically represents the idea of making sure that no bad comes into the Mishkan. Mashenkin Akelim had a yes to call Kli Avedu Pulum Yechedeshalay, but the Kalim, each Kali has its own different unique Avedu. Orin Ha'edus, the Orin which represented the Luchas, which the Edus which were inside of it. Shulchan, the Lechem Chulu V'chulu. The Shulchan was used for the Lechem. So, he's making a differentiation between the fact that the Yirias are just a general thing. That in general, the Yirias keep everything out. And Mashenkin, the Kalim, is the Inyan of Vaasei Tov, which Vaasei Tov has different levels. Now the truth is that the reason I'm not going into the fact that the Yirias are general is because he doesn't say it here anywhere in the Sicha. On the contrary, in the preparation of the Sicha, that was taken out by the Rebbe. The Rebbe doesn't focus on the fact that the Yiddish were a general thing. But by the Kelim, he does make a differentiation. And he says, when it comes to the Vasei Tov of the Kelim, each Keli has its own Avodah. And I was wondering why it says Arun Ha'edus, Shulchan Delechem Chulu V'Chulu, which by the way, was handwritten by the Rebbe in the edits of the Sicha. Ha'edus is emphasized and the Lechem is emphasized. Now, the following is the Ulei Yashleimar, and I don't know that it has any source anywhere, but I thought to myself, maybe, you know, that Lechem, we know Lechem represents Teiras. It's Lachmi L'Ishai, and the Lechem represents the learning of Teiras. Teiras Nasas Dam Basak Ipsara. It's like it becomes a sustenance. So it could be that Ha'edus represents mitzvahs, even though usually Luchas means is more connected to Torah. But I thought maybe the fact that he underscores Ha'edus is referring to mitzvahs, and the fact that he underscores Lechem might be hinting to Torah. And he's saying that there's in the Avasei Tev, there's the Avasei Tev of Torah, the Avasei Tev of mitzvahs. It's different kavim, different categories within Avasei Tev. I don't know if that's the pshat. I don't know if that's even a remez of the pshat. But I don't know exactly why he chooses Arun and Shulchan and not some of the other kelim, and why he underscores the word ha'edus and the word delechem. Other than the fact that Alpipastus is just trying to bring out that they had different purposes in the Mishkan. But v'inyanon ba'avoda, if we try if we now take that into practical avoda, sur meira, which is the shlila, which is the negative, magina la'adam yasir alav mazika, just like the yirias, we're protecting the Mishkan, so too when a person stays away from the bad, this protects him from allowing things that are permissible to him, that are not permissible to him, and that would damage him spiritually, so he stays away from that. And then there's the Asay Tev, which is Asiyas Mitzvah Shem Eidus, doing mitzvahs that are Eidus. And within that gufa, there are various different levels. That the yada mechalak et tzedaka, nasis merkava mamish v'chulu. The hand that gives tzedaka becomes a merkava, becomes a chariot. In other words, becomes totally bottled to the Eibishter's ratzon. Now, the Tanya over there, Perichav Gimel, he's talking about that mitzvahs are called Evarim de Malka. Mitzvahs are called the Eibishter's limbs. Just like the limbs follow the instructions of the brain, so too the mitzvahs are the ratzon of Hashem. And therefore, when a person does a mitzvah, then it's like directly connected to the Eibishter. And therefore, and he gives an example of the hand that gives tzedakah, the feet that go to do a mitzvah, the mouth and the tongue that speak words of Torah, the mind that contemplates on the words of Torah, that thinks words of Torah. In other words, the person, the different limbs of the person are actually doing different parts of Torah. So each of these things are different aspects in Asay Tov, where there's various different ways in which the person could do positive things to utilize his guf, to do positive things and bring positivity into his life. So in short, I might have digressed a little bit here, but in short, he's saying that Gershon was the Yirias, was carrying the Yirias, the curtains which were protecting the Mishkan from negative things. So too in the person, there's the Aveda of protecting himself from things that he shouldn't be doing, and therefore negative influences in his life. And there's the Kahas was carrying the Kalim, and just like the Kalim each had their own role in the Mishkan, so too in Asay Tov there's many different areas in which a person could do good things. There's Limud HaTorah, there's Kiyum HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvahs Gufa, the person could do different mitzvahs with different limbs of his body, and each of these things is another layer, another level in Asay Tov. And through doing both Avedas, the Aved of Sur Meira and the Aved of Asay Tev, Nasa Mishkan Vedira Leizbarach Mishne Musay, then the person becomes a Mishkan, and the person or his surroundings become a Mishkan and become a dwelling place for Hashem, Mishne Musay, in a complete sense, in a full and complete sense.